Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Wayward Podcast, where the word paves the way. I am your host, Jonathan Robinson, and I am here to bring you another episode filled with what I hope is both educational material and encouraging. And if this is your first time here, I'm really glad that you're here. I'm glad that you have taken the time to gift me your time. And if you like what you hear, I'd love it if you subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're on the YouTube channel, I'd love it if you liked it and subscribed. And if you are a returning listener, welcome back. I thank you for your time. In the last month or so, we have started a Bible story series, just slowly making our way through the Bible, trying to summarize its themes and threads. And we started off slowly with the abiding presence of God, and we have now started to get into the days of creation. We're in Genesis chapter 1, still very early into the chapter. And in our previous episode, we explored what God created on the first day, or more contextually, what function God ordered for the first day. And I say function because the creation story is more about bringing order to chaos than about bringing material existence into being. And bringing order to chaos requires that existence functions, right? And the first function that we focused on there was basically the function of time. God created time. Whereas the text says, where God says, let there be light, it's probably closer to let there be a period of light. So time was the function that God established. Time is the function that contains and compels all other functions. So today we move on to the second day. So if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, I am reading out of Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. All right? Awesome. And God said, let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. So again, I just I said this in the previous episode, and I just want to mention it again here. I want to give credit to the writings and the contributions from Dr. John Walton of Wheaton College for really guiding my thoughts throughout this creation segment. When I first wrote this Bible story series, this summary, a lot of the content, much of the creation story content, was just really quite summarized and compacted. I was focusing mostly on the bigger picture, and I had not gotten into a lot of the details and the moving parts of the story. I wasn't at the time. I was trying to summarize the Bible, and I was really trying to compact everything together as much as I could. And so, I wasn't really letting the details breathe all that much. But it wasn't until later, much later in the Bible story series, that I started to slow down and zoom in on a lot of the details. And so as I have been going through this material again and getting it ready for this podcast and everything, I have found that I have needed to expand on much of the creation material. So, that's what I've been trying to do. And right around the time that I began to do this, I was referred by a trusted source to the writings of Dr. John Walton. And I got a copy of his book, The Lost World of Genesis 1. And it has just really taken my understanding of the details and the inner workings of the creation story. It has really given them a more expanded understanding, especially from the point of view of ancient Near Eastern studies and culture. And so, yeah, I'm really thankful to have this source. I'm so encouraged to have this opportunity to learn these things right along with you. So if you're really wanting to get into this material, that is a resource that I would really encourage you to check out. So, having read this verse, what we see created on this day is a dome that separates the waters upon the earth from the waters above the earth. And this dome is called sky. Now, this word dome has gone through different translations over the years. In different Bible versions, it has been translated as firmament. It has been translated as vault, sometimes as expanse. And the visual of each of these words, the visual that each of these words paints is that of a material fixture that separates the moisture or the water or the rain above, like in the atmosphere, from the waters on the earth below. Now, having read this verse of a dome called sky that separates the waters above from the waters below, we must ask here, does this language describe the sky? A solid ceiling that keeps the waters above the sky from falling? Does this language describe the sky? No, it does not. We know that the sky is not solid, that it's not keeping the waters above from falling to the waters below. So does that mean that we must now throw away the Bible's creation story? Well, no, it doesn't. Because even though this language does not describe the material sky, it does describe a sense of the function that goes on in the sky. A ceiling that occasionally works like a faucet is not the language of the sky's material existence, but it is the language of the function that happens in the sky. And as we've already explored and established in previous episodes, the language of the creation story is not so much material as functional. The creation story seeks to show that creation functions harmoniously. So what specific function is this language alluding to? This language is that of the weather. Now, since the text is focusing on a fixture that separates the waters that fall from the sky upon the waters below, the real concern, functionally speaking, is not so much on what the dome is, but what the dome does, or rather, what takes place in that dome. The real concern is on this function that controls the waters above. The true function of the sky that the author is envisioning is that of a mechanism for controlling rain. And in our day, we know this mechanism as weather. So what does that function mean for the story? Well, like we mentioned in the last episode, the first three days in the creation story are structured as days of forming. So what does the formation of weather mean for the story? Well, maybe the solution is to ask, what dysfunction is this particular function resolving? And for an audience that lived in ancient times, in ancient Israel or the ancient Near East, the formation of weather addresses something that would have been a primary concern, which is flooding. And we know how devastating flooding can be in our day. So now imagine how devastating floods would be to a people living primitively. Flooding can destroy crops meant to feed villages for a season. Flooding could wreck or pollute fields meant for planting. Flooding could destroy homes meant to shelter people from the cold or the sun or the wild animals or enemies. And of course, flooding can destroy animal and human life. So all-out devastating destruction due to flooding and rainfall was a regular threat that was rooted in chaos, confusion, and dysfunction. What can be done against such unrelenting rain and flooding destruction? The solution is a function that regulates the rain, a function we know as weather. Weather brings order to the disordering rains and floods. The formation of weather brings order to the rain's potential chaos. So with the reason for this weather function in view, an additional question that we might ask is, what did this formation of weather in the creation story mean to the Israelite audience? Well, first, obviously, the function of weather would mean that the rains are regulated. In a world where too much or too little rain could have meant death, the function of weather established a sense of balance. That the rains were being regulated framed the understanding that their world, the world they were living in, was ordered. Second, the function of weather made their world a livable place. Weather that is working in an orderly pattern and with rains that come at the right time make the world functional and the life of the community fruitful. Third, the function of weather also allows for a negative side of the balance. Throughout this creation story, in Genesis chapter 1, wherever God creates or gives function to something, God always sees that it is good. It's a pattern in all of the days, except this one. Instead of God seeing the weather as good, the text only says in verse 7, "And it was so." And I personally wonder if the good adjective is absent here, because in point of fact, weather is not always good. And the ancients knew this, and we know it. So I wonder if God created the function of weather as a mechanism that was in and of itself morally neutral, something that is sometimes positive and sometimes negative, something that can sometimes lead to fruitfulness and sometimes lead to devastation. And this sets up the conversation of, if the weather can be negative and bring devastation, how can this play into our creation narrative of God bringing order and function to chaos and dysfunction? And I think that this sets up the fourth point, which is that the function of weather, such as it was an opportunity to display the goodness of God. In a lot of ways, Israel and other ancient Near Easterners, they feared torrential rains and large bodies of water. The seas were seen as violent swaths of raging chaos. I think the flood story kind of plays into this. The Red Sea story, in a sense, even the Jonah story. The seas were the places where the ancient gods raged and human beings experienced their wrath. So with this anxious reality in mind, it kind of begs the question of, how was Israel able to abide in this relationship with God when the function of weather could occasionally be so chaotic and devastating? And the answer to that question, I believe, is that Israel did not trust the weather. They trusted God. The weather may have been occasionally turbulent, but their God was consistently trustworthy. Their relationship with the weather may have been sometimes chaotic, but their relationship with God was covenanted. So while the function of weather is not described as good, Israel's experience of God describes him as good. So what do we as followers and disciples do with this? So I have a few thoughts that I've come up with while I've been preparing it. Some of it might be very similar to what we've already discussed here, but it just kind of reinforces what's been said, and let's just get into it. Now, first of all, I imagine that there's more than a few of you who might be thinking already, it's like, you don't do anything. Like I say, what do we do with this information about the weather? And you might say to me, well, you don't do anything. It's the weather. You just deal with it. And as a native Youper and resident of Wisconsin, I get that. But since such a blunt response doesn't hold much room for the nuances of God's activity and involvement, I'm looking for something that is more in rhythm with the God who is at work in this world. So my first thought is that we have to hold the weather in tension. We have to hold the weather in tension. And I think we might learn to do that by acknowledging the negative, the neutral, and the positive aspects of weather. Regarding the negative, we acknowledge that the weather can devastate. We acknowledge that the weather can create rains that flood people's lives and lands, or that the weather can create a lack of rain that causes drought and famine and starvation. Now, such an acknowledgement can lead to accusations that God must not be good if he allows bad things like weather-related tragedies to happen to people. Well, to put it briefly, I don't think acknowledging the negatives of weather necessarily leads to such conclusions. Because as we've already explored, the ancient Israelites didn't necessarily arrive at that conclusion either. When God created the function of weather, the text doesn't call the function good. It just acknowledges that the function has been created and that God was the one who enabled it. And in the book of Job, the Bible's famous story on suffering, when Job himself experiences incomprehensible suffering, and I think some of that was weather-related, I'll have to go back and look at it, but I think his children were killed by a windstorm or something, but even in those moments, Job is able to enter and abide within the tension between being angry and grieved about what has happened, while also keeping faith in the God who has blessed him so far. And so, on the one hand, we can acknowledge that the weather has a negative aspect and can devastate. So that's one side of the bounce. Regarding what I am calling a neutral aspect, we can also acknowledge that without weather, creation would drift to extremes that would ultimately devastate the entirety of creation. Like without weather, the climates and the vegetation of entire regions would be devastated for much longer periods than just mere seasons. So whatever we feel about the challenges and the occasional tragedies of weather, at the very least, this text helps us to acknowledge that the function of weather is a check on the absolute devastation of the earth. And this neutral aspect is something of a glass is half full kind of perspective on the weather and its occasional negative aspects. But of course, again, there is a positive aspect, which is that the weather that is rightly regulated allows for fruitfulness to be brought forth. Jesus himself leans into this positive aspect of the weather in Matthew 5:45, when he comments that God the Father makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So there's the aspect there that the rains or the weather can play a positive, fruitful role upon the earth, regardless of who people are. So just as the weather can devastate the good and the evil alike, likewise, the weather can also be fruitful for the good and evil alike. So really, the weather is this mechanism that God, or this function that God has put into play to make the world work, to make the world, to make the world around us function the way that it is supposed to. And does it always perform that function perfectly? No, but it does perform the function the way it's supposed to. The weather itself, let me put that a different way. The weather itself has been given design so that ultimately it will serve to accomplish God's purposes on the earth. So that is where we are going to conclude for today. I hope that this has been helpful. I hope that it has been food for thought. I am aware that I may not have communicated a part of that last part there, or maybe other parts, as well as I could have. I am sorry about that, but, you know, I'm going to keep exploring this idea. I'm going to keep trying to understand it better. I hope that you have, that this, at the very least, that this has kind of given you an expanded sense of understanding of how these days of creation are beginning to emerge and unfold. And I just hope that it is helping you to have a better, greater appreciation of the creation story. Because I am, you know, as I'm getting into this stuff, it's in a lot of ways, it is just expanding my mind, sometimes blowing my mind. I'm enjoying it. I'm being encouraged by it. I'm excited to see how God has been at work in our world. And I hope that you're able to see that. I hope that you're able to wonder at that. I hope that you are finding ways to just be thankful to God and to worship him for how he has allowed this world to function for his glory. So thank you very much for listening today. I hope that you will join me next time on another episode of the Wayward Podcast, where the word paves the way.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.